The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to yet again another episode of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I seem to have a bunch of the usual suspects. Let's start on the other side of the planet with Mr. Bad News Beeman.
Yes, and it looks like we've got a lot of news to get into today.
With an S or a Z?
Both.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm looking at the format. A little bit closer to me in the merry Midwest, our chairman Brian Henniger.
What it is. So happy to be here once again, Nikki. How are you doing?
Not bad, actually. Not bad. It's been a very, very busy day for me, but that's not for on-air purposes. Then we've got our numbers guy, no relation to Brian, Stat Boy, Josh Henniger.
So what is appropriate then, Nikki?
That's a loaded question. Wow.
Are you trying to trap me again? Do you still beat your girlfriend, yes or no?
On the daily.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Take that what you will.
Sit down. Anyway. And finally, New York's finest, Jason Block.
Believe it or not, in a pretty light week and in a crappy Raw ratings week, but again, they were up against Game 5 of the NBA, lots of interesting things happened, including, if we may start with, a awesome pull-apart brawl.
One that I thought would go a little bit longer. Believe it or not, I wanted it to go a little bit longer, and I wanted some injuries. When you've got two big badasses, one that actually works for a living, Samoa Joe, and one that is just coasting on his legend, my uncle's client, Brock Lesnar. But it did result in emptying the locker room and getting the refs and getting a couple of road agents. But like I said, I wanted to see people carted out.
Right.
Because,
well, no, I was waiting to see, like it was in the 80s, when you see guys like Tony Garea and all those other guys in those chocolate brown suits come out and pull them apart.
Well, that's what I mean. I was keeping an eye out for IRS and Finley and Jamie Noble and a couple of those guys.
Well, Jamie Noble's too busy having a hot dog.
Yeah, no. Jamie Noble knows better than to get in the ring with Brock Lesnar. He remembers the last time he was face to face with Lesnar. Jesus, man, I got dropped on my freaking head. I'm like, nope. Not going out there.
So even though he got dropped on his head, he remembered. I'm sorry.
Well, you generally remember that shit.
They showed him a video, and now he knows better, right?
Indeed. But you could definitely tell Brock was rusty, because that kick from Joe, that was solid.
Oof. Yes.
No, I bet Joe put everything on it. Just because.
Yeah.
And more power to him. I want to see Lesnar's ass get beat. They have my money. For their silly named pay-per-view with a slightly altered logo because they realized what the logo looked like.
except for the logo hasn't been altered. It was the same on Raw. It looks like a dick and balls. I'm sorry, it does.
Giggity.
Yes.
Well, speaking of dick and balls, I think someone got caught with their dick and balls.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yes.
Okay. Somebody got caught with their pants down. He's been lying to you, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Although I'm still taking this with a bit of a Z until we get confirmation here. But it looks like Bray Wyatt's wife has filed for divorce and has decided to throw some extra mud Bray Wyatt's way and said Bray is following more than buzzards when it comes to his wrestling career. In fact, he's apparently been following Miss JoJo Offerman's booty.
No homo, but I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, I know. She ain't bad.
But that's a big no-no. I realize you run a cult, man, but you haven't really explained the rules since the Wyatt family has been mostly a sausage party. You haven't really let any of the chicks in, so we don't know what the rules are.
Oh, jeez, man.
What?
But excuse me. Now I have it. I need some brain bleach just thinking about Harper and Rowan and no, just no.
And Braun.
Who, by the way? Shh. He's medically cleared.
Yeah.
Shh.
Wait
until
Sunday, folks.
Wait, no.
Not this Correct. Sunday.
Wait till Monday when Roman comes out to announce his SummerSlam plans. Braun!
Yes.
No, we're not even.
I'm not finished with you!
That's what we're going to hear. He's not even going to bother with his music.
Yes. Yeah. Quietly, that 8 months has turned into what? 6 weeks?
Yeah. So. But yeah, the elbow should be good. He doesn't use his elbow to Roman's face anyway. He's going to use fists.
By the way, I also thought it was also kind of interesting the new use of FaceTime. Alicia Fox is distracting Noam Dar via telephone, via FaceTime.
Sweet Jesus, I swear Raw Creative's trying to do like outdo themselves for worst segment each and every week. First we had the This Is My Life, and now we've got this FaceTime bullshit with Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. I'm like,
great idea, horrible execution. They've turned that shit off during the match. Let Noam Dar sell that she's still talking on the phone. But don't blare it over the PA during the match.
Exactly.
What match? It was a backstabber and it was done.
That was still, a squash.
Although I did enjoy the theater of Cedric picking up the phone and hanging up on her.
So did I.
I think what's more of a travesty than this is the rumor, and for the love of God, I hope that this is a rumor that is going to be happening with Bayley. Sweet Mary, Mother of God.
What is the rumor? Because they've already booked her terribly. What's the rumor?
Well, they're apparently booking her even more terribly. Does everyone remember this past week where we got the segment with Bayley and Corey Graves?
Yeah,
that's apparently leading to a romance angle between the two.
No. She's supposed to be dating Balor.
Exactly. I said the same freaking thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, if you're going to put Bayley in a freaking love, in a romance angle with anybody, it has to be Balor. We love it. We've seen it. We cheer for it. If you put her in a romancing with Graves, you might as well say she doesn't have a career anymore.
And honestly speaking, as I've said to you before, I don't know what drugs they're smoking in creative, but the fact is that they're booking Bayley like shit. And it makes me hate to watch Bayley right now. And I love her, but I hate the way they're booking her.
I'd like to know whose coffee she pissed in.
Seriously.
Because like she went from this great run in NXT and she was having an awesome run in WWE, and then all of a sudden brick wall, bang. And yeah, now seriously. She's just going.
And you know, something they even referenced that on this week's episode of Bring It to the Table, where they mentioned that, you know, this may have been one of the worst segments in Raw history. And they talked about how it really has derailed Bayley.
It's not fair to her.
No, it's not. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
Well, whoever it is either really hates her or is just trying to piss, you know, who's writing for her now? Pete Dunne?
What, seriously. You mean Mr. Bruiserweight? Him?
Mr. Bruiserweight's writing for just this overarching, you know, trick to piss off William Regal.
Or make him happier,
I don't know.
It's getting that bad that I'm starting to think that Bruce Prichard's writing this shit.
Well, like he can't be doing that. He's in TNA.
Exactly. They're grabbing TNA writers. That's how bad it's getting.
Oh, and by the way, I think we had another very bearable segment this week with Dean Ambrose.
That was hilarious.
Yay.
I remember he walked out, and all I could think of, my God, they found Terrible Ted, the wrestling bear.
Oh, God.
I was sitting there like, okay, who is it this time? Because I know that's not Dean. Because the first guy was tall, was much taller. And I'm like, okay.
Vince took the head off him, and I was like, who the hell is that? I haven't even seen him in the NXT.
I don't know who it was, but then when Dean finally shows up, it was more wonderful, happy, scary Dean.
And then we still have more of another love triangle between Big Show, Enzo, and Cass.
Oh my!
Well, on the boards, actually, it's been referenced as a love triangle because Big Cass has been giving the "what the hell are you doing with my buddy, you know, with my BFF" look to mm-hmm. Big Show.
And meanwhile, you've got Enzo going, guys, please, there's plenty of Enzo to go around, you know, come on.
There's plenty of Enzo to choose from. How you doing? I mean, everybody knows how much Enzo there is. How you doing? Don't you remember?
By the way, I was in Knoxville. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to make a joke and say, if you don't believe me, just ask Alana. How you doing?
Go ahead, Brian.
I was in Knoxville this morning. I had to take care of some personal business, and I went to the local mall, and I went to the FYE. They had a huge wrestling section there, and they had about half of the stuff there was dedicated to Enzo and Cass. They had a couple of different shirts. They had a couple of their own Enzo and Cass chocolate bars, which I should have bought one while I was there. They had all kinds of stuff.
So they're not. It's not like they're going anywhere anytime soon. And I don't think I don't want them to break up.
They're going to, though, sadly.
Can I at least just have Enzo as Cass's manager if Enzo is... if Enzo's never really fully recovered from getting his head bounced off the mat 3 times?
I don't know. I really don't know.
If this is a singles run for Cass, I've already stated what I think should happen. Like, if this is the end of Enzo's career and Cass has to do a singles run, you have to trade him to SmackDown. You have to trade Cass to SmackDown, because at least that way then you can do like the real kick, have big Cass come in, kick the head off of James Ellsworth, and then have Carmella with her man and all that stuff.
Ooh, now there's a love triangle I could enjoy watching.
The main was pretty good. I mean, you had the Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus in a 2 out of 3 falls match, and it was inconclusive, which means it still goes on. Good stuff.
Yeah. So no 50-50 booking this time.
You can't 50-50 book in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I don't think you can anyway. But
well, they somehow managed to do it.
Now. What's more interesting? Go ahead.
I think we're both gonna go the same route here. There you go.
But what's more interesting is stuff that they're not saying, but they're telling us quite a bit. It's my understanding that they had a sit-down interview, and I missed this. Who interviewed him this week?
It was Corey Graves.
Okay, I should have watched that, because I don't mind listening to Corey. I can't stand looking at him, because the man has the strangest fashion sense.
And too many neck tattoos. Sorry. A little too much.
So the dude should try a turtleneck one day. Even then, it's not going to get it covered at all.
You know, but he reminds me of that rapper Machine Gun Kelly, who has like fucking tattoos everywhere.
Yeah,
he does. Only I'm pretty sure that Corey Graves' breath couldn't strip paint at 20 paces.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
I think that's his idol, actually, because Corey's got the exact same friggin' look as Machine Gun Kelly. It's like Jesus.
So, anyway, there apparently what's been implied is that it's not an if, but when we actually see the Hardys break.
Yay!
It's gonna happen.
I have the quote. If you're
yes, please.
Let me pull this out because it. Just 1 second. I do have it here.
No, take your time. I'm just combining cards right now. Oh, I'm not supposed to be playing cards while we're on the air. Sorry.
That stops me.
Oh, how do you like your new teammate there, Shano?
Yeah, good. He's actually going really well with the team. Like, everyone's liking him. So
here it is. And it was a 14-minute interview. The brothers were asked about the status of their broken gimmicks, described by Corey Graves as their shattered Matt or broken personas. Matt Hardy said it was odd to going back to being regular Matt Hardy after being so used to doing other things, saying that he felt like he morphed into or almost became that other personality. Matt described the character as inside him and that he could always be unleashed again. On the broken Matt and Brother Nero personas, Matt said, "I definitely think there's a chance. It's a work in progress. Unfortunately, due to legal reasons, I really can't go into it right now, but I find it very flattering and humbling that every time we come and wrestle in front of the WWE Universe, they chant and they address it and they acknowledge it." On the delete chants, Hardy told the fans they love when the audience does that and please keep doing it, and when the Hardys have more details, they can talk about everything. When it happens, and I'm not going to say if, when it happens, it's going to be the most exciting thing to hit WWE programming in a long, long time. We've got to keep people guessing. Jeff Hardy joked, "I'm so glad my middle name is Nero." Jeff said he's always loved that middle name, but he loves it even more now. Matt responded, "Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my brother, Nero. Okay.
They are skirting that line so much.
And you want to know something? I bet you after this interview, the legal kibosh. Don't say anything stupid, dumbasses. Seriously.
Hey, you, Matt, stop that shit.
And Matt's simple reply is no. Fuck that owl.
Yeah, fuck that owl. Oh, by the way, Reamy have his son?
Yes, we did discuss that briefly last week. And actually, I've got a picture that I need to find real quick. Speaking of that.
Oh, Brian, while you're looking for the picture, Nicky. Brian, did we hear anything about WWE 2K18 yet?
I don't know yet. They had 2K had their panel today earlier. I'm going to find out right now. Hold on.
They're going to be talking about it on Monday. Because there's a hashtag going around, which the hashtag is, and I'm, what is this?
There we go.
Here it is. The hashtag is, there was more of it. I just had it. 1 second here. Here it is. Oh, no, not that.
Well, I have mine, and this is just a little joke that somebody had posted on the boards that Wolfgang might be able to at least walk Wolfgang around in a stroller for Halloween, and he'll be dressed like this.
Ha! Nice.
Oi.
Sorry. Not sorry. It wasn't my joke, so I think I'm safe.
Sweet Mary, Mother of God.
And if you haven't guessed, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it's a baby in an owl costume. And I still say... Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, nothing. It's just I'm just trying to find out what the current information is about the about 2K18. I'm trying to find out the news. I haven't seen anything yet. Usually they don't really show off anything publicly at E3. They usually wait till the summer to do that.
No, that's I was just gonna say what was I gonna say? Never mind. Go ahead, Shane.
I was going to say, I think the thing that Jason's looking for is, like, they had a picture of Stone Cold's ATV saying, DTA, don't trust anybody, and then it had something along the lines of NLB...
B-N-E-N-N-1-L something?
Yeah, something like that. So it made people think, okay, either... Steve Austin's saying he's coming out of friggin' retirement.
Which is probably never going to happen. Sorry, Nikki. Sorry.
No, it's okay. No rush.
We're getting some information about 2K18, who's going to be, and we can take a wild guess at who the cover artist is going to be with that picture.
Oh, hell no.
No, because they also had a thing about Andre the Giant in... on the Andre the Giant statue.
Okay, no, that's fine. But if Austin's on the cover of that...
He has no reason to be on the cover of that. I stand by my prediction. It's going to be The Undertaker.
Look, all I know is that if you're going to do 2K18, yeah, we need to not focus on the past generation. We need to have a career mode that's focused on the future.
Well, so who would I do that with? To be honest, if they want the buys, they should put Balor on the cover in full paint.
If you want the buys, the top cover, the cover superstars have to be Balor, Styles, Nakamura.
Oh, and by the way, the hashtag is BLN1. BLN1. Be like anyone.
Oh, that's actually kind of clever.
or no, no, yeah, the hashtag is BLN1.
Well, here's something interesting. Talking about rumors, again, rumors. Apparently, the going rumor, according to Cage Side Seats, is that Seth Rollins is going to be the cover athlete this year.
I'm okay with that, too, actually.
By the way, if you haven't checked that out already, you need to go on Kayfabe News on WrestleCrap.com. They show a picture of a very depressed mother and father, and they say Seth Rollins' parents confirm his middle name is actually Michael and not Freakin.
Oh, okay. Now, may I switch gears a little bit for you, Miss Heyman?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're starting to get some names set for the next month's Mae Young Classic.
Oh.
We have a few.
Yes.
Okay. They include Zhao Xia, Z-H-A-L-X-I-A, the first Chinese woman to sign the developmental deal with WWE. Okay.
All right.
She's trained in martial arts and had multiple first place finishes in martial arts and fitness competitions. Okay.
But can she wrestle?
We don't know. Mary Kate, who used to be Rosie Lotta Love in TNA.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Okay.
Hang on. That's a part that pisses me off.
Yeah, I think I know why.
It's because she's already in WWE. She was freaking Andrea here in NXT.
No, she wasn't. That's somebody else.
What's it?
No, that's the giant that was known as something else. She was 6'6". Rosie Lotalove was in TNA and ended Daphne's career.
Thank you.
That was the big, heavyset woman, I believe.
Yeah. She now is in the independents as Andrea the Giant.
Actually, that's pretty clever in its own right.
Yep. So... then we have Bianca Blair, who is a former CrossFit and track star, signed in April 2016. Okay. Danielle Camella, who was trained by Rikishi's Knox Pro School.
Cool.
Also an on-air personality for Fox Sports Arizona, an Arizona Cardinals cheerleader, and a former member of the Phoenix Sun Dance team. And she was also in the top 30 for the most recent in Tough Enough. Okay.
Cool.
Julia Ho, H.O., Canadian model and MMA fighter who trained with Brian Kendrick before she signed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kimber Lee, the former Chikara Grand Champion.
Yes.
Yay!
She's an amazing wrestler.
Okay. Lacey Evans, a former Marine who recently debuted on NXT.
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that one of the Lance Storm trainees?
Could be. Victoria Gonzalez, the daughter of Rudy Boy Gonzalez. Okay.
Okay.
Rudy Boy Gonzalez, he's a very famous wrestling trainer and a famous luchador as well.
Okay.
She played basketball for 2 seasons at Texas A&M before transferring to Sam Houston State. Sarah Logan. Okay. There's Sarah Logan, former Crazy Mary Dobson. AK Sarah Bridges and Tainara Mello. So we will have more names coming up as well with that. Now, you also heard something very interesting. Our good buddy Mr. John Cena, who is supposedly coming back July 4th to a locker room that's going to kick his ass. But you notice he has been branded a free agent.
Yes.
That bothers me a lot.
I agree. Maybe the way they're going to do it is that both of the big brands are going to try to sign him.
Not a storyline I want to see.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to the Austin situation. Like, it's just like, well, someone's got to sign him. But I think Jason's right. Like, it's sending out warning bells because the thing, everyone knows that he's Vince's boy, and Vince thinks that Cena is going to be the one to turn Raw's ratings around. So expect to see him on Raw very soon.
sadly. I mean, what was going to
okay? Then let me just pose this question then. Would Cena be a good conduit to get the belt back from Lesnar, or do we? I would rather see Joe do it, but in Vince's head, he would probably think Cena would be the better candidate.
Yeah.
Sadly, yes, but no. Joe is the guy to do it.
Yes.
Joe, they better not fuck Joe over for Cena. Okay?
I agree.
If we get, if this gets switched around and we get, like, because we're expecting to see Braun versus friggin' Lesnar at SummerSlam, but if we get Cena versus fucking Lesnar at SummerSlam, people are gonna go nuts.
Somebody's gonna, and a lot of them are gonna take their business elsewhere, because I don't want to see that again. I don't need to see that again. I want to see Joe try to murder Lesnar, and I want to see Lesnar try to murder Joe. I want to see teeth, blood, hair, and eyes all over the canvas.
You have very unusual tastes. Although teeth, hair, and blood all over the canvas, you never do forget your senior prom, do you?
Hey! He started it.
Oh my god. Impact is going back to the well. They're actually, Don West is doing color commentary for Slammiversary.
You have got to be kidding me!
It's unbelievable!
With some guy named Roflo. Robert Flores.
Huh.
Former ESPN dude.
Oh!
Now, I like Robert. Now, Robert Flores, he filled in for Olbermann once. Apparently, he's a big wrestling fan. He's been on WWE Countdown a couple of times.
Okay. Well, maybe you... Go ahead. Maybe he can keep Don West in check. Although he should loosen the leash during the, you know, higher up in the card.
And have you heard, Nikki, about one of the big matches on that pay-per-view is going to be?
Do tell.
Apparently, it's going to be something of a mixed tag team match. It's going to be Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park Esquire taking on Josh Matthews and Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner.
I've already voiced my opinion on this enough. If I bury it anymore, it's going to be like Paul Heyman in Great American Bash, concrete style.
Oh Jesus!
You don't have my attention at all.
No, well, they've been, in all due respect, look, I'm not a TNA fan. They've been doing this thing where they've been letting Josh be more of a heel, because he did train to be a wrestler before he was a commentator. He's actually not that bad as a really arrogant, smarmy heel.
It's just...
Look, I'm not going to take anything away from Josh Matthews, like, wanting to wrestle. Like, that's cool. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. I just had to watch him do a swanton bomb, which he actually didn't do quite bad at. But the finish to his match sucked balls. I mean, he was wrestling a guy that looked like he was at least 260 pounds. And we're supposed to stand there and believe that he can put the man in a Steiner recliner and the man's going to tap out to him. What? No, I'm sorry. No.
First of all, I'm perfectly fine with Josh Matthews wrestling, because that means he's not talking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good grief. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, I've said this before to a few people. I'll say it again. Is it just me, or does the older Jeremy Borash get, the more he looks like Pat Sajak?
He's getting there.
Well, here's the deal. okay? You know, that match is not going to be a, you know, that's going to be a one-star match, as I say, okay?
That whole if that actually registers in a five-star scale, I'll be impressed.
Mm-hmm. But we know something that actually broke a meter.
Oh, it's God. It's fun watching Meltz break. It really is. Go ahead.
Now, sorry. Because we all talked about this match, and this was Okada Omega 1 in January. We talked about this match.
Yep, Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yep. We just had a match, which was Okada Omega 2, a 60-minute time limit draw.
And that shit don't fly in the States no more.
Mm-hmm.
But they pulled it off. And it's going to be broadcast the night before they go live, I believe, what is it, July 1st? Yep. On Access, I think?
Yeah.
So...
I want to see this match. I might switch to alternate needs to find it.
Uh-huh.
But, the fact that he broke out the 6 stars again, or was it a straight 6 or 6.25?
It was 6.25 stars out of 5. I don't like.
I'm starting to get the feeling that Dave Meltzer's a Harry Potter fan for some odd reason. This man can't keep numbers. He has to add 3/4 to everything. It's like
I keep thinking of that episode of The Simpsons where Homer becomes a restaurant critic and you hear them say things like, "Come on, Homer, you give everything a good review. 9 thumbs up. What the hell is that?"
But yeah, 60-minute time limit draw. Have fun, boys.
And I think half of the reason that Meltz put that up there is just the fact you're not going to see that in the States anymore, and that he's kind of straying away from the entertainment side of sports entertainment. He wants work rate.
Well, he's always been a work rate wonk.
He's getting worse.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, making it clear. He's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. You didn't hear that. Okay.
No, we didn't hear whatever. But, it's just one of those things where work rate is work rate. Shane.
Yes, I was gonna say. Speaking of freaking work rate, oh my god!
Yeah, your girlfriend may be coming back soon. Finally,
hell yes, she's looks like she's finally got the neck brace off, and she's been keeping everyone up to date on Twitter with her gym workouts. Looks like she's getting more buffer, and she's actually put down in a very nice tweet that she's plans to come back better than ever before. So better her. So I think she realizes that she's stuffed up in the past, but
okay, does that include sober?
Ooh, I had to hit the blade of the belt.
Excuse me, I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm being real.
She, from what we've seen, on tweets anyways, she's looks like she's getting really focused into the gym work, so I guess we'll have to wait and see when she comes back, but it looks like she's ready to come back in the next couple of weeks if she wants to, so we'll probably see her return match at SummerSlam.
I welcome it. I do welcome it. I have missed her. I mean, yeah, she's been, you know, being a goober with Del Rio for long enough.
The question is, though, and I'm going to say this, and I hate to use this term, and I don't think they're going to do it, I don't think they will. How badly do you think she's going to get buried when she returns?
The shit sandwich is going to be the mega foot long, right?
That's what he said.
But, you know, that I don't see that's the thing. I don't think so, because they've invested all this money in this new Paige movie they're doing.
It all depends. It depends on one man, because there's only one man that's been attacked by all this, and that's the evil doc, Paul Levesque.
And the evil boss tends to hold grudges, but if it's
he likes Soraya, so like, because he like she was the first one he came out and held up her hand when she won the title, so he's very high on her. As long as she just comes back and says she doesn't agree with what her friggin' soon to be husband said, and that's why she was trying to cover his mouth and everything, then hopefully Triple H can let bygones be bygones. If not, then, yeah, she's going to have to eat a couple of shit sandwiches like a lot of people that have shit-bagged the company and come back.
So we'll see. I mean, if they're going through all the trouble to make a movie about her, then they should be pretty nice to her. And when's this movie supposed to come out?
Sometime next year. This is under the $7 Productions logo, which is what they filmed it a few months. They filmed a couple of scenes a few months ago.
And yeah, that was where The Rock tried to call CM Punk on an episode of Raw after they finished taping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that show.
What I remember about that was so funny, at least to me, was how The Rock apparently looked over at the guy and says, y'all better not cut my microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
Because he's a motherfucking Rock.
Exactly. Now, remember we were talking about Corey Graves just a few minutes ago?
We were talking about Corey Graves and his ridiculous fashion sense.
I want to actually talk about his brother for a moment.
Oh?
Yes.
Oh!
This is actually very interesting to me. Because it's sort of a little red state, blue state crossover a little bit.
All right.
Okay.
His name is Sam Adonis. He is a Rudo in the CMLL, which is the Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre. Okay?
Right.
Which is the oldest professional wrestling organization in the world. It's been around since 1937, I believe.
Okay. So he decided to become Yes. He is one of the biggest heels in CMLL. You want to know why? Because he has custom tights with Donald Trump's face on his behind in Mexico. And when he won, and I'm reading this from Yahoo Sports, he supplemented it with a U.S. flag emblazoned with Trump right on it.
Whoa.
Okay.
Own it.
That's him.
And he said, he said, people were so angry. He said he was happy to be the target of the venom that arose when Trump suggested the border wall. Most people here hate Donald Trump without really knowing why. Nobody knows anything about him. They don't read his policies. It's like the blind leading the blind. He said, I'm a flamboyant loudmouth. I'm willing to shove my president down your throat. I'm such an ass that I want to be Trump. I'm the high school quarterback that picked on you. Of course, his real name is Sam Polinsky. He's 27, and his father was a Pittsburgh area promoter, and his brother was Corey Graves. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He got injured in 2011 and basically ended up floating around Europe. And he, you know, he's addicted to 80s wrestling, and he's doing the non-politically correct stuff. And I think this is brilliant. I'm wondering why this wasn't taken off sooner. And he's blonde, you know what I'm saying? This is interesting. What do you think about
this? Well, there was a wrestler, let's see. There was a wrestler recently works for Dramatic Dream Team out in Japan who actually worked a sort of a Japanese Donald Trump gimmick over there.
Oh,
and he became
God.
A massive heat.
That one? The one from the beginning of this year?
Yes.
Oof.
So heat is heat, folks.
It is heat, but you also got to remember, be very, very careful, because down in Mexico, they don't like playing any games. If you take shit too far, then you'd be lucky if you make it back to your car.
Oh, yeah. This, you know, I would be willing to believe that this guy is going to start a riot at a show somehow. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And, yeah. Oh, can I tell you what's also a good thing?
What's a good thing?
Up, Up, Down, Down is 2 years old this week.
Hooray!
And Austin, Mr. Austin Creed is now in Los Angeles after getting caked in the face by Tyler Breeze.
Excuse me, if there is a cake involved, somebody has to take it in the face.
Mm-hmm. And
it's like one of the unwritten rules of wrestling.
And yeah. it was Austin, and AJ Styles comes first of all. Austin tackled. There's a video of this. He tackled Tyler Breeze and got some cake on him too.
After Tyler Breeze threw the cake in his face,
and then AJ Styles takes a finger and goes, it's good stuff.
But yeah, I know that Xavier Woods has been spending most of the week geeking out, because I know he's got a, you know, Orichalcum pass to go into E3, the lucky bastard.
Yes, he played Crackdown 3 with Samoa Joe and broke it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. I haven't heard a game getting broken in a while.
Yeah, he broke it. But yeah, Samoa Joe, I know, is a big gamer too. Literally and figuratively.
As big as the Big Show?
Oh, yeah, Big Show was there too.
Big Show is the biggest gamer, actually. Wasn't he playing Far Cry 5 or something?
No, Destiny.
He headed the Destiny 2 panel.
That's
nice.
It.
Nice. Yeah,
he's one guy I wouldn't think of as a gamer.
No, most of them are. They have most of them just bring it like a TV, and you know their gear with them. You know.
No, yeah, I know some of the guys do that. The Big Show.
Even John Cena does. I mean, he brings his cell phone, and those guys have been doing, if I'm not mistaken, Clash Royale or whatever that Cesaro is doing on Up, Up, Down, Down for the last 2 years plus.
Yeah, awesome. And the other thing you got to remember is, you know, they've mentioned that, you know, used to be back in the day, guys would, you know, they would just get backstage, they would do drugs and drink beer and all this other stuff. Now they don't do that stuff anymore. They just play video games, which is a whole lot better for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the generation that's happening now, whereas it's not all about the parties and the drugs and everything. Now they're all about their gaming and everything.
And there's nothing in the world wrong with that, because we get stuff like the Madden finals. If you've not seen it yet, y'all need to.
Rollins smoked Styles.
Yeah, he beat the living beaver snot out of AJ Styles. And Styles is saying that he will only accept the defeat if they agree to do it on an Xbox.
That's a cop-out.
Because apparently he says he doesn't have experience with the PS4 version of Madden.
That's a cop-out.
And so they handed him his second-place trophy. It was like this little bitty thing. He threw it on the ground, stomped on it, and somebody was picking up. He says, don't pick that up. You leave it right there. It stays on the ground. I don't accept that.
And first of all, there is the video of Seth Rollins going into SmackDown to play the finals was hilarious. He comes in, and like all the SmackDown guys surround him, and one of them blows a cigar at his face. Okay. And then when he wins the trophy, he has like his lackey bring this huge trophy into the SUV that he rented. you know, which was like, this is going home to Iowa. You know,
wasn't like taller than he was?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
It was probably taller than most of the buildings in Iowa. Anyway, no, that's not nice.
But yeah, Brian and I and Josh and VRM, a little promo here. Just we covered a bunch of stuff. The only thing we really haven't covered yet is WWE 2K18, but they may be releasing info Monday on with this whole BLN1, be like anyone, you never know. But we covered a ton of games. God, it was funny. I'm so lucky that I was able to watch all the conferences at the same, this week.
Right.
Crazy stuff. Yes, and
the best broadcast partner in the world to talk him over with me.
Yes, thank you very much. But by the way, Nikki, you have to find a song called, and I will quote this, "I'll Be Your One-Up Girl."
On it. I'll find it for us.
Okay. Gotcha. This it's is the, a swing song for Super Mario Odyssey. You will love this, okay?
You have my attention.
Hold on, I'll find it right now. Give me a second, please.
I'll listen to it after the broadcast. But yes, please.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant stuff. What else I would say? But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But I think, Nikki, we may need to go to the Mr. Statboy now. I would think. No.
Well, I got to throw out one other thing real quick. There was a little bit of outside news. Everybody remembers how much of a Justin Gabriel fan that I am.
Yes.
And yep. He apparently lives up to his Dear Wolf moniker. To the point that he messed himself up pretty good base jumping.
He even bored himself pretty gnarly.
See if I can find that. I had it in front of me earlier.
Hang on, was that here in Australia? Because he's supposed to be over here for House of Hardcore.
It's bad enough these people jump out of a perfectly good aeroplane with a bed sheet strapped to their back, but now they're jumping off of bridges and off of cliffs. Why would you do something like that?
Broken hand, broken leg, reportedly lost a finger.
Dude!
If that's true and that's like his legit injuries, career over.
And well, I'm surprised his career wasn't over previously because he broke both his ankles in a base jumping accident last fall. How the hell do you come back from two broken ankles? One's bad enough.
Yeah, you don't.
Well, he tried.
Yeah.
Whoops, wrong one. Sorry. Sorry. That was for Lady WLTI.
Oh, hey.
That was WLTI stuff. Sorry.
Jason, what are you looking at?
I am not even going to ask.
Before we go to the pick-ems, can I go over something real quick that I put in the chat earlier just real quickly? There's a DVD set coming out pretty soon that I am so excited about. I'm going to be buying this thing when it comes out. It's a set called WWE Unreleased Matches 1986 to 1995.
I was hoping you saw that.
This is right in my wheelhouse, baby. And kind of go over a few of these matches. These are matches that have never been released on home video before.
Ooh, so security cam house show footage.
Yeah, it's house show footage. I was like, some filmed house show footage and stuff. Mm-hmm. Here are a few of them. 1986, Superstars taping, Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, and Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Hulk Machine, Big Machine, and Super Machine.
Hulk Machine. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Hulk Hogan is featured heavily in a bunch of these matches. So, he's not completely in their doghouse.
No, he'll be back. Don't worry.
Yeah, he'll be back soon. He'll serve his time, then he'll come back. Let's see. We've got, this is cool, from Indianapolis, June of 1987. Jose Estrada versus some guy called the Dingo Warrior.
Whoa.
maybe Warrior's tryout match. We've got from 86, Hulk Orndorff and Harley Race versus Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper. From 1988 in Bristol, Tennessee, Owen Hart versus Barry Horowitz. From April 21st of 88, Randy Savage versus Andre the Giant. Demolition versus the Powers of Pain. That was a Superstars taping. 1989, Big John Studd versus Andre the Giant. I'm just cherry picking a few of these matches here for us. Let's see here. Oh, here's one from Hillbilly Jim and King Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Haku and Andre the Giant, The Colossal Connection. That's from Utica, New York in July of 1989. Now we're going to get into a couple of tryout matches that were there. Let's see here. We've got from Fresno in 1989, Brian Adams, a.k.a. Crush, versus Barry Horowitz. Also from 89, Earthquake Evans, so, you know, Earthquake, versus Paul Romeo Roma. The Powers of Pain versus the Rockers, one of their first WWE matches. Let's see, and it kind of goes on from there. This looks really cool.
Like you said, it's in your wheelhouse, and it's stuff that longtime fans would definitely be interested in seeing.
Uh-huh, and this is kind of cool. Now, you remember Randy Savage lost. He lost the match WrestleMania 7, the career-threatening match against the Warrior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he worked a couple of dates under a mask as Mr. Madness. But it was kind of like, Mr. America gimmick. Ronnie Millsap could see who it was.
Right.
His one versus Jake the Snake Roberts in November of that year. They also have one of the few times it happened in WWE, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair for the WWE Championship. That's going to be fun. That's going to be cool. Let's see here. This looks really neat. I don't know who these guys are. I'm just going to read this match listing to you. March 9th, 1993, Augusta, Georgia, the Toxic Turtles versus Tommy Stevenson and Ron Preston.
What?
That sounds like a Chikara match.
It does, doesn't it? Well, I know that Brian Hildebrand, God rest his soul, wrestled as Cowabunga, the Ninja Turtle, in Smoky Mountain, but let's see here. They've got a few others. Oh, Shawn Michaels versus Mr. Perfect from 1993. Oh, here's one for you.
Considering this, I've just found something pretty quickly on the fan boards that swinged it over. They were known as the Battling Turtles. Dwayne Gilbert Gill, and I would guess the other is probably Chris Champion, a.k.a. Cowabunga.
Wow.
Holy crow.
Let me double check here. Let me make sure I'm not goofing.
Here's a flash in the past. The Tasmaniac versus Skippy Taylor from 1993, who would, of course, become Taz.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just found it out.
It's Barry Hardy and Dwayne Gill.
Okay, Barry Hardy. I've heard that name, but let's see here. We've got the Mega Maniacs, which was Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior, with special guest referee Sergeant Slaughter against Money Inc. from 1993. I never thought those guys ever wrestled together as a tag team. I mean, I know they teamed up, but I didn't think they ever actually wrestled. I thought they broke up before their first ever match. But anyway,
I would have called them Ultimately Savage.
I would have too. That sounds better, personally. A ladder match: Jeff Jarrett versus Razor Ramon from 1995. These were like a few of the test ladder matches to kind of test out the gimmick here. Let's see. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler and Hakushi. And a bunch of others. So you check them out.
So, yeah, definitely for you old school fans.
I didn't mean to take over the show for a second. I just thought that was good.
No, the only person you have to answer to is Stat Boy, who is drumming his fingers while his spreadsheet spools out.
I'm drumming my amoxicillin. I need to take it soon.
Oh, boy.
Well, I apologize for that. You take over, my friend.
This is actually a really thin pay-per-view. And I mean, how thin is it? Well, how do I put this nice and gently? Let me double check. There's only five matches.
Dude, two of them are half the pay-per-view.
Yeah, true, but geez Louise, that is still a thin pay-per-view. This could be a two-hour pay-per-view.
They're
going to add more matches. They have to. But right now, ugh. This is thin.
Thin, but not very predictable.
True. Outside of one match, it is going to be a toss up everywhere.
Which I like.
Because there's only one match that I will absolutely just say slam dunk. He's going to win. And we're going to get there at the end of this.
Okay.
First up, we've got the SmackDown Women's Championship. As Naomi faces off against Lana.
Rated T for team.
Danger Zone!
Was that out loud? I'm sorry.
Who wins?
Is easy. Lana is not going to win her debut match, even though she is, I've heard, okay in the ring. Naomi wins.
I'm going to say Naomi too.
As am
I. Can we just say broom?
Yeah, go ahead and throw the broom at it, Stat Boy, because
super play. Because
if they're gonna emphasize wrestling, they're gonna keep it on Naomi and force Lana to get away from her diva gimmick.
Yeah. Whereas me, admittedly, it is 60-40 Naomi for me right now. I mean, I could definitely see Lana pull this out and us all get flabbergasted, but I honestly think Naomi is gonna win. Barely.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lana interjected herself into the Money in the Bank match, but yeah.
I mean, if this was, you know, Lana's third or fourth match under the new gimmick, I would not be having any qualms in saying Lana wins, but I have some, not a bunch.
But yeah, Lana interjecting in the women's Money in the Bank, if you want to use that as your wild card.
No, I've got something I'm planning on using as my wild card at the end of it.
All right,
now to the first of the two Money in the Bank ladder matches for the women and their chance to win the SmackDown Women's Championship if they so win it. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella. Who wins? Oh, God.
The fans number one because they're long time coming. Okay.
Exactly.
Agreed. Okay.
However, if going by what I believe that Naomi is going to be a face, we need a heel to have the case. That means no Becky, no Charlotte. Natalya doesn't need it. Tamina doesn't need it. It's Carmella who pulls down the briefcase. Who pulls it down.
Okay, I'm going to go a little out left field. But I'm playing a wild card here as well.
Oh.
We need a heel.
Uh-oh. I know where you're going!
We need a fresh heel. So I want Tamina to pull down the briefcase. But my wild card is that Ellsworth is going to be in a bad ladder spot. He's going to be taken out with a ladder.
So he eats a ladder?
Yeah. And he's going to have to eat it with his face because his chin is an aimed shot.
-4 on your roll.
He
go!
Ain't got nothing to hit on his chin.
-4 to AC. Go. Ah, shit. You rolled a nat 20.
Oh, yeah. it's not going to be Joey Mercury bad, but it's going to be everybody's going to wince when he get when he gets his. Then they'll cheer. But yeah, I want Tamina to pull the briefcase down because she has been out of the loop for so long that she deserves this. Because half of the reason she's been gone wasn't even her damn fault.
Mm-hmm. The other half is she needs to stop landing on her knees, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Shane.
You know what? I'm going to say Tamina wins as well.
Okay.
Yes, screw it. I think they're going to... I'm going to agree with Jason. Carmella's the go.
Where is me? Here's left field, folks. None of these women will win because you'll have somebody interject. Somebody's going to get that briefcase and hold it for herself. The Empress of Tomorrow comes on Sunday, as Asuka will win.
Ooh.
Is that a wild card too?
Yes, it is.
That's a well. I think Jason's question is that an auto win? Because I want
to
see that.
That's up to interpretation.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to lean one way or the other.
No, because you're slightly biased.
Yes.
All right. I'll ask VRM. But for those of you who are here right now, would you give Statboy the auto win if this happened?
Well, she's the current NXT champion. So if she came and won Money in the Bank, yeah, I'd say auto win.
I agree, but I'll
allow it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If it happens, you know, I'll not only will we give you, you know, not only will you win the belt, I will say thank you because I would really love to see Asuka on the main roster right now.
So would I. After all, we need to hear her say to all the other competitors, you talk too much.
Has Matthew adopted that yet for everybody
yes,
talks
absolutely.
Too much?
Absolutely.
Good. Good. I haven't watched his stuff in a while. I've been watching the Pokemon endings everybody does for him, though.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now on to the tag title match. As we have the Usos, whose day one is H, facing off against the New Day, who will probably be Biggie and Kofi because Xavier is going to be tired from covering E3. 2 points. Who wins and who stares at the
pretty lights too? You're
so glad your voice is back, Josh.
What?
So glad your voice is back, Josh.
It's not back 100% because I wasn't able to hit my tee-hee-hees.
No, right. It was still a little off, but not bad.
Yeah.
The day one-ish is going to continue over the New Day because the New Day, even though they're awesome with the jazz, you know, the jazz quartet or whatever, the jazz orchestra in New Orleans, they're not there yet. Usos retain and... I say, depending on who's wrestling, I'll say Xavier gets the pretty lights.
Okay. As for me, honestly, I could see New Day take this, don't get me wrong. Mainly because I know that the belts are essentially a platform for them. That's it. I would honestly say, though, at this point, the Usos will win. And I will say that Kingston will be eating or taking a look at those lights that are oh so pretty. But I would not be surprised if, say, what's the next pay-per-view? WWE Wrathy Basin?
Stop that.
Winter hold?
No, it's Great Balls of Fire and then SummerSlam, right?
No.
No.
No, I'm making horrible puns for a reason, Jason. WWE Warsong Gulch? Wait. Battleground. That's right. That turd of a pay-per-view.
Hey, it's an awesome mode in cards.
Yeah. It's just the pay-per-view itself.
Yeah, it's Battleground, right. Yeah. Yep. 2 weeks, yeah. It's 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and then 4 weeks.
It's not paranoia. It's H. No, the New Day needs to chase him a little bit longer. If they're going to do the swap, they'll do it at SummerSlam. Yeah. And since I've already played my wild card, I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Tyler Breeze is going to make a disguise cameo.
Yes.
Pretty accurate. And that would be a pretty easy wild card for everybody if they want it.
So, yes, I leave it out there for them.
So, Usos win, and who gets to see Pretty Lights?
These guys are thugs. They're going to pin Big E.
Ooh.
Okay.
Which means somebody is going to only get 1 point guaranteed.
I don't mind. I didn't suck and sit at the bottom of the pile. It was damn close last time, but not this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian?
I'm going to say the Usos win. The man staring at the lights is going to be Big E. And I'm going to use my wild card. I'm going to be a bit more explicit. I'm going to say that the Usos win, but as soon as the match is over, out's going to come the fashion police, and there's going to be a brawl.
I am okay with this.
Okay. That's perfectly fine. Although, being a little bit, you might want to be a little less explicit. Nobody wants to see that.
I want to see it.
Oh, no. You want... Whoa! My mind's in a gutter, Nikki! You want to see what?
I want to see a Pier 6 brawl. What? I don't know what you're thinking.
Somebody being a little bit too explicit there, Brian?
Oh, I see. Very cute.
Kill me, please.
I might have to after this show when I listen to the recording and realize that I've been tricked into something. Stat boy?
Yes.
Pony.
It's a show for little girls. Message him.
So now he's going to show up in my dreams tonight and yell at me. Okay.
And I'm just going to say it's an Uso day. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It'll be Jimmy pinning Kofi.
Okay. And now we're on to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Give me just a sec.
Uh-oh.
No, he just put the cough button on.
Yeah, I have some chest congestion still, unfortunately.
Hey, a couple of chair shots to the back can help you with that.
No.
I brought my chair.
Oh, son of a bitch! Run!
Come back here! You come back! It's good for you! Come on!
Get away from you!
Nikki, hold him down!
No, I am not going to hold him down. Sit down! Use a chair for what you're supposed to use it for once.
I thought you were supposed to use a chair to hit people with!
If you knock out Statboy, we won't be able to finish Pick'ems. Save it for after the show.
Okay. I never get to have any fun. You know that?
You get to have your fun off the air. I know we have some fans who would like to hear this and would like to see this. But,
All right.
Yeah. So just chill for a little bit, Brian, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now let's get back to the pay-per-view. Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE Championship contract, which is almost a guarantee to win. Unless your name is Damian Sad Now.
I'm sad now.
Or John Cena.
Yeah.
Yes, Cena didn't win.
But yes, yeah. I'm still very sad that Damian's handout did not win. I thought he could.
As we have Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and who the fuck cares? Oops. I mean, Dolph Ziggler.
Come on.
Oh, that's
man.
Not cool. Not cool, but you're right. But still not cool.
Yeah.
May I go first?
Go for it.
Because I'm about to do something that could either be really stupid or really smart. I'm going to tell you who's going to win this thing. I'm going to tell you who in exactly one word. You want to know what that word is?
I think I know.
I think I do too.
Yo!
Oh! That's not
It's
going to
be Nakamura.
I understand where you're aiming at, and I've already heard the rumors through the grapevine. You're not horribly off.
And you want to know something, Brian? You're not alone on the island. Let me explain to you why.
Okay, good. For once, I'm not completely crazy.
No, you're not, and I'll explain to you why. Because of what I believe is going to happen in the main event, I believe that we're going to need a face to face the champ. And that leaves Zayn, Styles, and Nakamura. Styles is still going to hang with Owens for a bit. Zayn is just, well, Zayn, which leaves Mr. Nakamura, which I agree with you. Nakamura pulls down the case.
And honestly, guys, the island doesn't exist. It is all an illusion because the majority is siding with you. The majority is with us. Nakamura will win. He will cash it in by SummerSlam. And to be honest, by the end of the year, Nakamura might just be, or Mahal will be a two-time champ. Nakamura will be winning it by SummerSlam.
I'm going to be a very lonely individual, aren't I?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Well, I've got two options in my head. Actually, my heart says Sami Zayn.
I understand, and trust me, I've heard the rumors there, too. That he's going to be taking on a certain somebody soon.
My head tells me that we're going to get a little bonus. And there is one word that I can describe it in. And this is the word I thought you were going to say, Brian.
Okay.
Machka.
Oh.
Rusev?
He was supposed to show up at Money in the Bank. I think he's going to be the one that's crashing a match, not Lana. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Rusev. I would love it to be Zayn. I think you guys are probably right with Nakamura. But I'm going to put it out there.
Okay.
Rusev.
All right. Shane?
Oh, God. It's too many to pick from. Nakamura is a good idea. But I think I'm going to be on Loner Island here. In fact, to put it more correctly, I'm going to be on Lone Wolf Island.
Oh, okay.
I'm confused. I'm not sure if I want Corbin Orton or not.
No. Hang on. That's not where I'm going with this because Baron's going to win. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't matter who wins the main event because I think that person's not going to be champion by the end of the night.
Is this wild card, mister?
My wild card is that Baron Corbin will win. He will cash in by end of the night, and Baron Corbin will be your new WWE champion by the end of Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's going to piss a lot of people off.
Including me. You want to put that no talent, no personality hack as a WWE champion? Really?
Considering who's current champion, it's not far off.
No, it's no.
Now hang on. Baron Corbin needs to. They need to slack the reins on his mic work because he has charisma. They just wouldn't let him show it because they wanted him to be a silent badass, and he shouldn't be. Lame insults, Baron Corbin isn't bad, but now I really want him to get on the mic and just. You know, tell the whole world to fuck off. Mm-hmm. I think Jinder's a better heat magnet because he's really owning it, and I don't want him to lose it. Corbin, like I said, that would piss people off just as much as when Jinder won.
Yeah,
but in the case is when Jinder won, people actually are giving him a chance. They wouldn't give Corbin a chance.
No, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
They won't. He will actually become more hated than Roman fucking Reigns.
Although, that would mean immediately he'd become a top two player in the company.
Yeah, I know.
The hate has to become indifference and apathy and like, who cares about you? Go bye-bye.
And
I just think that... With all of his backwards and forwards attacking people from behind, it's just a perfect fit for someone to win Money in the Bank. Someone like him to win it.
It would be completely out of
left field because no one would expect a heel to attack another heel from behind.
Aussie boy's got a point.
We'll wait and see.
You've got a good point, and I don't hate it. But we'll see what happens. Because we ain't done, right, Stat Boy?
Nope. We've still got one match to go. Your main event of the evening, as Randy Orton cashes in his rematch clause against Jinder Mahal for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Who wins?
All hail the Maharaja.
That's right.
Jason's playing the wild card, guys.
Yes,
fire away.
Card. Right idea, Nikki. Wrong match. Okay. Mahal. First of all, Mahal will win by DQ when Randy Orton gets mauled by the Big Russian. By the Bulgarian brute.
So you have Orton winning. Because if Rusev gets mauls Orton, that means Orton wins by Dairy Queen.
Yes, Orton wins by Dairy Queen, yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, when Jason said he's going to get mauled by the Big Russian, I'm like, oh, don't say Kevin Nash is coming back.
Okay, now you just calm down. Y'all just wait a second here, okay, man? Y'all just wait a minute.
Okay, talking John Wick. Cause
y'all got a problem with me coming back to do this little Money in the Bank ladder thing?
Only if you don't. As long as you don't text yourself, and please don't get involved in the Corey Graves Kurt Angle thing. I'm still intrigued.
Okay, first and foremost, I haven't spoken to Kurt since TNA. He's changed his number. I haven't been able to talk to that dude. I don't know the cat's new cell. He won't give me his email address. It's a crazy situation, not worth getting into at the present time. Second deal. I would not want to talk to Corey because I have a rule in my life. Don't talk to people with more tattoos than people in prison. And don't ask me how I know how many tattoos people in prison have. That's a couple crazy weekends in Tijuana. Can't really talk about anything until after the inquest. But basically, you know, that's a rule I have there. But listen, I could do the thing. You know, I could climb the ladder and bring the belt down. I could do that. Sure. Why the hell not?
I don't know, Kev. I saw your ladder work in 2011, and people are still complaining.
You know, you drink three bottles of Merlot before a match, and all of a sudden, everyone thinks you're unprofessional.
Dude, Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir.
Shiraz, actually.
If I, If I could do a Kevin Nash voice, I'd be like, yeah, I have a policy of not talking to people with more tattoos than one of Scott Hall's lays from the 90s.
Oh, speaking of Scott Hall.
Yes.
How's he doing? How?
Did you see the picture?
He's ripped. Yeah, I saw a picture of him with a six-pack, the good kind.
Show me. Somebody find me this picture. I have
working
not seen
on it.
But here, it's the click has now become the six-pack.
Because I got to see this, because he looked a little rough.
I found it. Hold on, I'm putting it in right now.
Please do.
It's right here is one of the main reasons why DDP is in the Hall of Fame.
That is Razor Ramon. How you do it?
Yeah, that's Razor Ramon. Not partying or traveling as much. Hey, if as long as you cut out most of the first and go easy on the second, you'll be all right. And this is why DDP deserves the Nobel freaking prize.
DDP deserves his own. Honest to God, DDP deserves his own Ultimate Warrior Award.
He does.
He should.
But damn, son.
You grate some cheese on them, boys.
I got a block of cheddar and the rest of the night off. You're gonna have to shave those, but yeah.
Okay, so I've said Maharaja. Nikki, did you say Maharaja or no?
No, I'm saying Maharaja because his heat is amazing. His heat is immense. I'm loving every minute of it. And Randy Orton doesn't need another title run.
And I'll have to admit, his entrances of late have been pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. Been pretty good.
I'm saying Maharaja, too, because I'm a firm believer in the chase. So, and he's such a heat magnet.
He's just a brilliant heat magnet.
Even his fellow Indians don't like him.
Mm-hmm. And the Bollywood boys just add to it. I'm so glad they're getting this inside shot.
Yeah. All right, and with that, that is everything, actually. Very, very thin pay-per-view for now. I mean, once again, there will probably be a match or two added at some point, and we will not be putting them on the pick-ems list, because that would be dickery to the five of us.
Well, I'm expecting to see some sort of American Alpha match.
Yeah, just saying, hey, we exist!
And I would expect a Fashion Files segment.
Yep.
I would expect that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm thinking at SummerSlam, we're going to get a four-way tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's going to be Usos, American Alpha, The Fashion Police, and New Day. Wouldn't surprise me.
And they are ready, willing, and gable.
Get them back on my TV, please. Please. If you're not going to use them on SmackDown, send them to Raw, just so I can have Jason Jordan walk into the general manager's office and say, hey, Dad.
Ah! Yeah, it'd be the perfect fit. If you want to flip people over somewhere, because everyone's saying that Enzo belongs on 205 Live anyways if he has a singles run. Trade Cass and Enzo to SmackDown. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable to Raw. But Chuck Benjamin. Oh, that's his rule.
Come on, Stat Boy.
Hey, you've got to remember, their fathers are Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, not Kurt Angle.
And Charlie Haas is... Okay, Charlie... I would believe that Chad Gable is related to Charlie Haas.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, this line is still wrong.
Right.
You're correct, but you're wrong. So I guess I better start wrapping up this show. But before we go, we gotta sell some soap. Mm-hmm. Shano, you got anything to promote?
WWE Supercard, ladies and gentlemen. Play it today.
Please do. My Rusevs need plenty of targets. Oh, hi. Stat Boy?
Yes, I actually do. Almost this time next week, 11 a.m., June 23rd, there will be a brand new Mario Marathon going on at MarioMarathon.com and on Twitch at twitch.com/MarioMarathon, where they'll be going through every single mainline Mario game out there for charity. Yes. Child's Play.
Yikes. And Brian, I bet you have a few things to promote.
I've always got some soap to sell. First and foremost, check out Jason, myself, VRM, and Mr. Josh Henninger doing our Pixel Nation bonus rounds. We reviewed all of the big E3 conventions. You can check that out pretty much everywhere. Also, want to promote my usual stuff. First, Wrestling with Regret by Brian Zane. Friend of the site, friend of the show, great guy. Check that out if you can. Also, the Oddity Archive on a temporary hiatus until July, but just gives you time to watch all their episodes. Great stuff, pop culture, ephemera at its finest. Lazy Game Reviews, great show. Musical Hell by Christine Esterly. And let's see, what else do I promote at this usual time? Pretty much that, and of course, keep it glued here to the folks at Spectrum One. We've always got something new to talk about. Like what, Jason?
Well, we're going to start with a show we're going to record tomorrow night, which is We Love to Interrupt. We're in the full summer season. And I just booked a WLTI extra. I will not necessarily tell you who this person is, but this person is involved with one of the hottest shows of the summer. Let's just say. And I will tell you once we're off air.
So you actually scored an interview with Tommy Maitland?
I wish.
The legend of British comedy that the is Tommy Maitland?
Yeah. Okay. Very, very cool. We shall see. Of course, new Touch 'Em All will be around. Of course, BS Big Show will be on. New BS Big Show. I'm just trying to think of course, Red State, Blue State, and all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. So.
Okay. I want to apologize to anybody who's been reading my blogs on Angry Marks. I was very bad this week and did not get an article in. That will be remedied next week, I promise. I will second the vote for Supercard because it is a horribly addicting game. For all you film buffs out there, this weekend is the global 48-hour film competition starting tomorrow, June 16th, somewhere around 7 p.m. your local time, where you will get your genre, you'll get your name and your prop. And then you have exactly 48 hours to write, shoot, score, edit, and upload a 5 to 7 minute film. I will be participating with a group. I won't go into details here because that's none of your beeswax. You should just go watch the movies. They're all awesome. So, now that I've gotten that all out of the way, Brian?
Yes. Okay, now, Josh, here's what you're going to do. I want you to bend over.
What?
Grab the table and grit your teeth.
No, please, no, please, no. God!
Sleep!
Harder.
That'll free anyone.
Bad news, ladies and gentlemen. You have just turned into the porno channel.
Thank you. Good night. Oh, get up. I take four of those chair shots before I have my coffee.
Yeah. It was a lockdown, boy. Keep going with this, folks, but next week on North American Wrestling Connection, we'll see who actually won the Money in the Bank pick'ems, and it won't be Stat Boy. Good night, everybody. Go ahead. Swing again, Brian.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.